good evening, and it's a pleasure to be back with you and continue this study on the days of Noah from the verses read earlier to us. In the previous two messages, we have studied that Noah and the global flood were historic. The flood was a historic event, and Noah was a real historic person. A couple of weeks ago, we studied Noah as a man. What was Noah like? Noah was a godly man. He was a man of faith, a man who walked with God. And because of that, God confided in Noah and told Noah of his plan. And Noah, in the light of that, became, as it says in the New Testament, a preacher of righteousness. And he warned his generation in which he lived of the judgment that was coming. Now that generation didn't listen to the warning, was completely and utterly irrelevant because they were warned. And because of that, there are no excuses in the day of judgment. But also, yes, the flood was a historic event. Noah was a real person. But if Noah was a real person, what kind of person was he like? Then the next thing that comes to mind is, well, then what kind of world did Noah live in? And that's what we're looking at tonight, Noah's world. Noah's world was a real world, not just a world that is painted in children's Bible storybooks, but a real world. It had a culture. It had a philosophy of life, a way of thinking, and a way of entertaining itself. It was a world not very different at all from our society. Indeed, we may discover that the same mentality or the same philosophy of life that prevails today in modern Western society is very, very similar to the philosophy and way of thinking in Noah's day. Because humans don't change. They're the same today. Human beings are the same today as they were in the whole of history since the fall. Technology advances, but human beings do not advance 1 millimeter. Now, tonight we're going to look at certain things that characterize Noah's world. Noah's world. And they're all from Genesis bar the last one. And you'll know why that is when we come to it. Noah's world. What characteristics had Noah's world? The first thing is this. Point number one. An evil mind. An evil mind. Verse 5. See what it says in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw that man's wickedness, the Hebrew word means man's evil, his moral, his ethics or his morality is what the Hebrew word means, was evil, morally wicked. The wickedness of man was great. That word means abounding, overflowing. Man's wickedness had reached a new low. There are a few words that will further emphasize that to us. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The word every means the whole. Every imagination, every concept, every thing framed or formed, every purpose or device, the Hebrew word means, of the thoughts of his plans or cunning inventions of his heart. His inner person was only evil continually. And that means all day, all month, or all year. Continually. So Genesis plainly teaches in chapter 6 that man, coming up to the flood, just before the flood, had come to such a stage of moral evil, just before the flood, that all the concepts and plans and inventions of his mind and his plots and the way he thought was utterly evil all the time. Indeed, Matthew Henry the Puritan says concerning this little section, "The imagination of the thoughts of the heart was so that their designs and devices were wicked. They did not do evil through mere carelessness, as those that walk it at all adventures, go on adventures, not heeding what they do. But they did evil deliberately and designedly, contriving how to do mischief. It was bad indeed, for it was only evil, continually evil, and every imagination was so. There was no good to be found among them, no, not at any time. The stream of sin was full and strong and constant, and God saw it," says Matthew Henry. Now, the evil mind, they were continually, the Bible paints here then a picture for us that coming up to the flood, mankind had reached a new level of evil, and they were continually scheming and contriving as to how to make sin and evil easier and more accessible. That's the picture. In other words, an evil mindset had come in. A depraved mindset, way of thinking. The whole thought patterns and the way they reasoned was only evil continually. That's the first thing about Noah's world. Man's wickedness had reached this new low, and it comes in this form of what I call tonight the evil mind. Now, I didn't make that up. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones uses that term when in his sermon on Genesis chapter 6. I have all his sermons on tape. On the early chapters of Genesis, old tape, not CD, right up to chapter Babel, chapter 11. But Dr. Lloyd-Jones, I'm not going to quote him now, I'm going to summarize as bits as I put it as we go along. But Dr. Lloyd-Jones, in his sermon on this chapter concerning the world in Noah's day, talks quite a lot about the evil mind. He says this: "You see, there are times in history, in the history of the world, when men are evil in practice. But they were not as devilish in their minds as at other times in the history of the world. Men can commit sin secretly, as it were, but still outwardly they try and be decent and upright. Because in some stages of history and cultures, we know what sin is. And there's this outward appearance of trying to be upright. And then there are other times in history and cultures, different times, when men reach a new low in iniquity, where they actually sin openly and blatantly. And then the doctor goes on and he says, and even worse than that, at other times in history, man becomes perverted. And he calls evil good, and good becomes evil. He perverts his morality and reverses it. And the doctor says that's the lowest form of morality possible according to the Bible. Isaiah 5 is a perfect example. Sweet for bitter for sweet. Good for evil for good. There are times in history when sin is rampant, when men, even their very minds, become fiendish and perverted. and they bend all their powers and their faculties to gloat and revel in sin. Here's an example. I think it proves it perfectly. Look at the difference between Britain in the Victorian era and Britain today. Now, there was always sin. There was sin in Britain in the Victorian era. Everyone was born a sinner. And there's sin present in Britain today. But is there not something strikingly different about it now than then? Examples. Number one. Look at the novels. Look at the literature. The novels and the literature, what is written proves the way the mind thinks, the way your people reason, what entertains them. Look at the novels. Compare novels written in Victorian Britain to the present ones. In Victorian novels, you don't have all this, as the doctor says, psychobabble, filth. You don't have all that in the Victorian novels. They used to be foolishly romantic. But something new has come in, hasn't it? Something starkly different in the realm of the mind and the imagination of the people of this country. In the thinking of society, it seems to be spiraling downwards. Take the area of music. Music is becoming debased, primitive, suggestive, twisted. It's no longer clean. Everything is becoming perverted. Literature, art. Take art. Art in the Victorian era, art today in Britain. The people in the past wouldn't recognize a lot of what was called art today, because it has become perverted. What new thing then has come in? There's always been sin. But what's different? There's been sin ever since the fall. But what's different? What is different? Is it not the mind, the imagination, and the thoughts of his heart is becoming evil all the time? That's the sort of thing that happened just before the flood came. God saw that the wickedness or the moral evil of man was overflowing great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart, the way he reasoned, was evil continually. The evil, twisted mind, the imagination becoming totally corrupt. And that's the kind of thing that brings down God's judgment. I'm only giving you two quotes from the books tonight. Leopold says, just pulled out the bookmark, that's great. Leopold says, concerning that little section, the gravity of the situation in this passage is made apparent by the severity of the divine resolution. I will wipe out mankind, says in verse 7. Now he's translating the Hebrew wipe out. That's what it means. Sin has become so predominant and crass that the extremist measures alone can cope with it. There can have been no prospect of the reform of the corrupt mass of mankind, and the ease which with God's greatest works are done is revealed in the word wipe out, because it's one Hebrew word, wipe out. Now, that's Noah's world. That's a description of Noah's world. Look at the United Kingdom today. A new law in the area of the mind. New laws forcing lessons about gay relationships to 5-year-olds and up. Just look on the Department of Health or the Department of Education's website. Both those websites recommend books, 12 books, for children aged 5 and up. Right? Here's 3 of the titles. Daddy's Roommate, Hello Sailor, or The Sissy Duckling. And all those books, all 12, are about gay relationships for 5-year-olds and up. This is on the Department of Education website and the Department of Health website in Britain and the United Kingdom. All justifying and promoting perversion. Our government, I say on the basis of that alone, our government is guilty of child abuse. The Sissy Duckling, there's a quote on the government website that says, quote, is a terrific role model for any child, end of quote. And the scarier bit is, when you look at the literature for the teenagers in secondary school, it is nothing but blatant graphic pornography. A new low was reached in the area of the evil mind. The imagination of the heart was only evil continuing. And we, I believe, are showing it in our nation loud and clear. Noah's world was characterized by the evil mind, the evil mindset. The second thing that we look at is found in verse 12. The second point is, it was a foul society. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Corrupt. The earth was corrupt. That Hebrew word means polluted, foul, decayed, being destroyed, being ruined. Apparently it's a Hebrew perfect tense, which means it's an action that has just been completed. The whole society was corrupt. It was destroying itself. It was rotting and rotten from the inside out. Lloyd-Jones says, quote, it was tarnished like Sodom, end of quote. It was beginning to self-destruct, rotten and decaying from within. The old standards had gone, the old rules of conduct had gone, the line of Cain was becoming more and more violent, as we will see, and the society was beginning to fragment at the seams and fall apart. Just like our society is being ruined and is becoming corrupt and rotting from the inside out. Isn't our society being corrupted? Aren't there decaying standards? Noah's world is characterized by the evil mind, a corrupt society. Thirdly, the third thing about it is that it was a violent society. Verses 11 and 13 of Genesis chapter 6. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for, meaning, here's the reason, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them, God says. It's filled with violence through them, the people. Filled with violence. That means, again, it is full or it is actually overflowing with violence or abundantly violent. It's an imperfect verb, which means it's an uncompleted action. It's getting worse. And the word violence simply means wrong, cruelty, injustice, violence, or oppression. Now, of course, there's always been violence in this world since the fall. But in Noah's day, it was becoming more than just violence in this world. It means a lot more than that. The wrong, the cruelty, the violence, the injustice, the brutality was widespread. That's what this means. The earth, God says, twice was filled with violence. It was overflowing with violence. And that was Noah's day. That is what the world of Noah was like just before the flood. And that's why the flood was brought, it says, for. Now today, is the world violent? Is there a drastic increase in violence in the United Kingdom? The legacy of modern Western society in the last 200 years is this. Let's face it. In the last 200 years, modern man has killed more human beings than all the other ages of history all added together. That's the legacy of modern educated man. A massive increase in violence. And look at the people of Northern Ireland. Go and be a dinner time supervisor in a primary school or a secondary school. I know a number. The violence in the children. Not just in physical violence, the aggression in words, the violent language. Oh yes, it doesn't happen in class in front of the teachers. Of course not. Listen to the language. It's in the violence is in the air that is breathed. The people driving on the road or drive violently and aggressively. Road rage? Was that around when 20 years ago? Road rage? That's because society is becoming more violent. There's been a loss of respect. Violence now towards pensioners is common. I remember when I was in my teens, the first time it was ever in the news that a pensioner had been assaulted and robbed. And it was a terrible thing. There was an outcry. Now it happens every week and nobody bats an eyelid because our society is becoming accustomed to more and more violence. Just open the Belfast Telegraph. A few years ago, and it was literally a few years ago, I listened to the Northern Irish news on the radio. I haven't listened to it in years. I listened to it about 2 years ago on a Saturday night. Just to hear what was going on. I gave the headlines in the next Sunday sermon of what was going on. Stabbings, rapes, murders, shootings. This was all after the Troubles, of course. The amount of violence was phenomenal. Just in one night. It all happened on the Friday night. Well, the world was filled with violence. In Noah's day, it was becoming ripe for judgment. Society, the world in which Noah lived, was characterized by an evil mind, a corrupt society, and violence was filling it. And the fourth thing is perverted religion. And you see that in verse 12. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. See that? His way. Corrupted his way. God's way. Human beings had corrupted God's way upon the earth. What's God's way? The Hebrew word actually means God's road, God's path, the way laid out by God to live. Speaking religious, why did Abel sacrifice a lamb? Why was there sacrifice going on before the law? Because God had laid out a proper way to live. The moral path. God's way is the way that human beings were to live and are to live and worship Him. The way of life, true religion, God ordained, had become corrupted. And again, that Hebrew word means perverted. Humanity had corrupted or perverted God's way on the earth. So what you had then was false religion. The corruption of God's way. The corruption of true religion. They had tampered with God's way. Made a few improvements here and there. They had polluted God's way. That was one of the main characteristics of Noah's world. Perverted religion. The people of the way, that's what Christians were called in New Testament times. God's way, the way. But in Noah's day, God's way had been corrupted by men, which leads to false religion. Now, always trying to apply it and make it relevant, so, because it is so relevant. Look at the United Kingdom. Look at the Archbishop of Canterbury. Look at the list of them, actually, if you want. Look at the Anglican Church and the Church of Ireland, that just within the last few weeks, there's a petition of loads of ministers of the Church of Ireland have signed and sent to the Church Southern South of Ireland government, encouraging them and telling them to allow gay marriage. The Church. And the Liberals, look at the Liberals and the critics and the whole multi-faith movement and all the other bunch of hypocrites. What are they doing? They're perverting and polluting God's way on the earth. God's way. We have to adjust that Bible now, don't we? You couldn't have that in a modern society. We move that and adjust that. We select certain bits. Corrupting God's way. The pollution of true religion. Well, that was what happened in Noah's world. They had corrupted God's way upon the earth. And that's exactly what's happening in Northern Ireland. And there's no difference at all. None. False religion. All of it is all corruption to a greater or lesser extent of the true religion. And the fifth and last thing then. The fifth and last characteristic of Noah's world was materialism and pleasure mania. Now that's not in Genesis chapter 6. That's in Matthew 24 and Luke 17. And you'll know the text, of course. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He describes what it was like in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What were they doing in the days of Noah? They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They were just living the materialistic life. Well, how do you know that? Well, what was eating and drinking, living, marrying, giving in marriage mean? Just the ordinary materialistic life. They had no time to listen to Noah's message, who was the preacher of righteousness. Why not? Because they were feasting and they were drinking. And what do you have at a wedding? You have a party. You have celebrations. They were living for their physical appetites. All without a thought for God. Because when Noah, the preacher of righteousness, preached to many were in the ark. Not one of them. Only Noah's family. Pleasure mania. Materialism. That's what they lived for. That was the characteristic of Noah's world. Materialistic pleasure mania. When Rebecca and I were in Bible college, one of our favourite subjects was philosophy. And philosophy, it's a complicated, they use all these big words, but philosophers, secular philosophers, not Christians, secular philosophers have a term to describe our society and the West in which we live. It's called psychological hedonism. That's how they describe the thinking and the purpose of life of modern Westerners. Psychologists call it, or philosophers call it, psychological hedonism. Psychological means their mindset, their whole focus and their goal. Hedonism, living for pleasure, living for the now, living to satisfy bodily appetites. That is hedonism. Hedonism, that's the modern term for the way it was in the world in the days of Noah. And that's exactly where Northern Ireland is tonight. Materialistic pleasure mania, psychological hedonism. Noah's world was characterized by at least five things: an evil mindset or way of reasoning, a corrupt, foul society that was rotting from the inside out, violence, perverted religion, and materialistic pleasure mania or hedonism. These are the conditions for calamity. These are the conditions just before the flood of God's judgment. These are the conditions that the United Kingdom, I think, is now obviously in. Driven there by a wicked British government. Now, I say that as I was brought up marching on the 12th of July and in the flute bands and a union man with "we should be united with England" and all the whole red hand of Ulster nonsense. Union with what? The most evil government in Europe? That is now playing around with embryos of children and making three, the first nation in the world to legalize three parent babies. Union with what? Our judgment in the United Kingdom is not sleeping. Because you see, it says in verse 5, "and God saw." It says in verse 12, "and God looked upon the earth." And verse 13, and he says, "the end of all flesh is come before me." God saw it all, and it was all done before the face of God. He saw it all. The wicked mind. He saw the corruption and the violence and the corrupt religion and the materialistic hedonism. They had, as a world then, they had blatantly snubbed God. And did all these things before his face, thinking that the consequences would never come. The judgment would never fall. But it did fall. And it will again. It will fall in Ulster, in County Antrim. It will fall in Wide Abbey and Newton Abbey. Unless there's repentance from sin. But it's not. It's not a flood this time, it's fire. Because if God doesn't judge Ulster, he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Noah's world. I conclude, the mind, the evil mind is evident today. The corruption of society is evident today. Corruption. I have a friend, when I was in the London City Mission for a year, he was from Wales, and he told me a story one night about his school friend in secondary school age, teenager, when they were in Wales. He had a school friend, and one night, it was a Saturday, I think, during the day, if I remember right, and his school friend was really down, and his school friend climbed up onto the top of a multi-story car park in Cardiff and was going to jump off. And the police came and a crowd gathered below, and Jim arrived, and the police were trying to talk the young fella down. And there were people in the crowd shouting and laughing and saying, "Go on, jump! Go on, jump!" to a teenage boy, and he did jump and he died. And when he died, they laughed. My friend never got over that. What a rotten, vile, corrupt mind. Corrupt society is evident. Abundance of violence stares us in the face. Materialistic hedonism is our philosophy. And it is all happening before the face of God. All of it. How has God blessed our nation? How many preachers of righteousness have declared the gospel in Northern Ireland? How often would God have gathered them as a hen does gather her chickens under her wings? But you would not. Not what Christ said to the Jews. And behold, your house is left unto you. What was the house? The temple. What's the house in this land? The church. Look at the visible church. Your house is left unto you. Desolate. Empty. Void. Nothing. If any sinner who's listening on the internet, if you do not repent of your sin now in life and confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, if you remain unforgiven, it tells us in the book of Revelation, if you remain unforgiven, it says in Revelation 14 verses 10 and 11, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who receive the mark of the beast, and so on. Unrepentant sinners will be consciously tormented in the lake of fire forever. That's the way it is. And God would say, he says to all, turn ye, turn ye. Why will you die? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live, says God in Isaiah. But you must turn. Turn means repent. And believers, we may ask, in the light of Noah's world, and in the light of our world, what are we to do? Well, we are just to be different. In what way? Don't show the signs of Noah's world in the life of the church, in our lives. Be different. Walk with God. A living witness comes from godly living. Walk with God as Noah walked with God. And if we don't do it now, we never will. Okay, amen, and thank you. Next week, or next month, we'll be looking at the ark and the heart of God. Okay, amen, and thank you.